The voice of the Denver Nuggets on Altitude TV. And, hey, Chris, you've seen Jamal Murray lots over the years, of course, but have you ever seen him have a stretch of games where he played this well ever before?
No. It was quite the show. I think Jamal playing at his apex, if you like. I think the only question about Jamal over the years, I mean, we've seen him have games like that, runs like that, but never in such a concise, you know, 6 or 7 game package. And the big question has always been, can he do it all the time? And I always tell people, yeah, I think he can do it. He can do it. If he wants to get to the superstar level, that's the key. When you compare him to someone like James Harden or Steph Curry, they get 30 every night. And Jamal can get 30, he can get 40, but sometimes he can get you 12. So I think it's just a matter of Jamal coming into his own. He's still only 23 years old, and very encouraging on how he played in that first series against Utah.
Now you look at the matchup. The L.A. Clippers, of course, maybe two of the best wing defenders in the game in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So how do you see this as a challenge, and how different are the Nuggets going to have to approach them offensively?
Well, the Clippers are better on defense than Utah was. Maybe not with the rim protector like Rudy Gobert. They don't really have that. But they have not only the two great wing defenders, they've also got Patrick Beverley, who's considered one of the scrappiest defenders. I'm guessing that he may start on Murray, and then if Murray torches him, then they would move a bigger defender, either Kawhi or Paul George, on him. It's going to be quite the challenge, and the Nuggets are going to have to be cooking on all cylinders. It can't just be Murray. I'm not even sure it can be just Murray and Nikola Jokic, because the Clippers have so many weapons. They're going to need a third banana in there, and whether that's Michael Porter Jr. or Grant or Monte Morris or one of the other guys remains to be seen. But they're going to need all hands on deck for this series.
You look at Jokic, and you know what? Jamal Murray, I know it was maybe a point guard battle more than anything in this series, Chris. And, you know, but Jokic came up huge in game 7, right? So I don't know if you'd say he was necessarily quiet early on in the series, but he really hadn't made a big impression until game 7. That's got to be a big positive movement against LA.
Yeah, I think you say that he was quiet in the early part of the series. That's because Murray was going off. Murray was doing his thing. And one thing I've always admired about Nikola Jokic, he can play the leading man. You know, he can be Gary Cooper. Yes, he can. But he can also take a secondary role and be a supporting actor when there's another leading man burning it up. And so Jamal was playing so well that I think Nikola was okay taking a back seat and seeing where Murray would take them. That being said, you know, he gets 30 and 14 in that last game. He's been great in game 7s. He had the game-winning shot on the Serbian hook shot. He's just a guy, you know what you're going to get every night from Nikola Jokic. You're going to get 25 to 30 points. You're going to get 10 to 15 rebounds and, you know, 5 to 10 assists. And going into the Clippers series, the Clippers don't have a defensive pivot man like Rudy Gobert. And I think that if the Clippers pay too much attention to Jamal Murray, that Nikola Jokic will feast on what's left over.
That has to kind of be their game plan a little bit, right? And so how did the Nuggets fare against the Clippers all season long?
You know, it was a mixed bag. First game of the year, the Nuggets won it by 6. Paul George did not play, but everybody else was there. It was a legitimate win. Next game, the Clippers in L.A. Blew out the Nuggets, and I'm thinking that was more of a scheduling game. When you play in L.A., it's fraught with consequences, and it's very, very difficult to bring your A game when you've been in L.A. for 3 days prior. Third game, it was a 10-point loss. I think it was close till the end. So the Clippers had the advantage. The Clippers, you know, they've got a lot of really good players. They've got great depth, good guard play. The one weakness I see with the LA Clippers that the that the Nuggets may be able to exploit, and I'm not sure exactly how they do it, but the Clippers are a cocky bunch, and they feel like they can turn it on and turn it off whenever they want. You know they're looking ahead to getting to the Lakers. That's all anybody talks about as the NBA goes along. And so are they vulnerable? Could the Nuggets catch them by surprise? Sure, I think they could. And sometimes when you're a little full of yourself, you leave yourself open for another team that's playing at a high level. And I think that's where I see the opening for the Denver Nuggets.
Chris Marlowe joins us. Chris, you know, doing the play-by-play, you know, if on television obviously is a challenge now for a lot of guys because you're doing it from home. As a guy who's done it before, had you ever done a game off of a TV screen before?
Sure. Just not basketball. I've done a lot of volleyball. I've done a lot of other sports when I was working my way up, swimming and boxing and things like that. There's an art to it. It's a little more challenging because you don't have your eyes and ears in the arena, and we're not in control of the pictures. The pictures are being provided by TNT and ESPN, and they're showing what their announcers are talking about. Of course, you can't hear their announcers.
Yes.
So if you want to talk about Nikola Jokic and you start to talk about Jokic or Murray, and they're showing Montrezl Harrell, there's nothing much you can do. And the same for some calls and things like that. You know, they're showing something. You have no idea what's going on. Was there a call? Did he step out of bounds? And you don't know until you hear the audible portion of the official walking over to the sideline. So it's been a bit of a challenge. There's been some good stuff about it, too. I mean, we're broadcasting from a hockey booth at the top of Pepsi Center. We got a lot of room, big table, giant monitors. We got a cooler outside. It's got water and beer, water for the game and beer after. And, you know, you don't have that when you're down on the floor and you're kind of cramped into your broadcasting area. So I think broadcasters are going to have to get used to this as we go along, because I think next season may be more of the same.
Yeah, that kind of seems like that might be the plan moving forward. And I know some teams are hoping that maybe they can get some fans or percentage of them in there. We'll see. Now, I'm not sure if you saw I'm sure you probably saw, Chris, the post-game interview with Jamal Murray when he was like, what? We don't get 2 days off. We're playing right away. How fatigued do you think Denver is? How difficult is game one going to be for them tomorrow night?
It's going to be difficult simply because this was – kind of a draining series, if you like. However, I don't think it's all the Nuggets. I think it's mostly Jamal Murray. And I'll tell you why. I think Jamal has had a dual role in the bubble. Not only has he been a warrior on the court, just playing fantastic basketball, but he's also been a warrior for the social justice movement. I mean, he's got the shoes, he's got the shirts, he's been a spokesman, an eloquent spokesman, a proponent, you know, for George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And I think that is just exhausting to have to do that. I don't know how it's going to proceed as we go along into the Clippers series. I know why Jamal said that, because he looked exhausted last night. He did not look like the Jamal Murray we saw in Game 5, energized, yelling, screaming, playing with that kind of Canadian fire, as we like to call it down here, that he's known for. It's just very, very difficult to play ball during the night and be a social warrior during the daytime, doing multitudes of interviews and things like that. So I'm hoping Jamal is up for the test. Plus, he got kneed in the quad midway through the game. So he's a marked man now. You know, if you don't pay attention to Jamal Murray, you know, he'll lay a 40 burger on you or a 50 burger, and you'll have to pay the debt.
Chris, we really appreciate it. Give me your thoughts on Game 7 tonight. Who do you like between the Rockets and the Thunder?
You know, I think the Rockets will win, but it wouldn't surprise me if OKC comes through. Chris Paul's been unbelievable, but I can't imagine that James Harden and that group, particularly if they get to another close game, I don't think you're going to see the ball in the hands of Russ Westbrook in the last 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, Harden's got to have the ball. I think they just made a major gap. And I get on D'Antoni on that. You know, if you're the coach, you got to demand that or insist that the ball go to your best player. I mean, Harden's good for a three, a drive, or a free throws. And you know, Russ had you know, 7 turnovers and was playing poorly. I don't know why he had the ball late. It's still a mystery to me. But I like Houston to advance against the Lakers.
Great stuff, Chris. We really appreciate it. And enjoy the next round.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.